Beis Shabbat, Thursday the 22nd of January, Rabbi Avrom Heksher, Why Me?
This week's parasha, the Baruch Shem gives us the first mitzvah which he gave to Klal Yisrael, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Moish Chodoshim. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, that the monthly we Klal Yisrael follow the lunar calendar, and the months of the year, the Kvias of Rosh Chodesh, which day Rosh Chodesh will fall, depends on us Klal Yisrael. It's not like Shabbos, which is common with Kaim Elad Moses every seventh day, and we don't have a say. But rather, the Kiddush HaChodesh is based on Klal Yisrael. The Edom coming, saying they witnessing, they see saw the new moon, etc. In Siman Tov Chof Ches in Shulchan Aruch, there are various simonim, which the most famous perhaps being Lo Yadu Roish, Lo Yibudu Pesach. Rosh Hashanah can never fall on Adu on Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Pesach can never fall on Bedu on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There's another one, Peleg or Plag. That Purim is always going to be the same day as Lag BaOmer. The first day Pesach will always be the same as Tisha B'Av. Various simonim to help us remember the cycle of our calendar. Obviously, these are not just memory games, just to help us remember, but there's obviously a connection. If it says that Plag, that Purim is always the same day as Lag BaOmer, that means there's an intrinsic connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer. Something which, at Tzad HaShoah, has some common denominator between them. Obviously, that's not our subject. We're not holding by yet, Rosh Chodesh Adar. I want to talk about another simon, which is less famous, and the reason why it's less famous is because it's not in Shulchan Aruch. The Prima Godim, in Simon Tofresh Pehe, at the end of Hilchas Chanukah, brings an amazing thing, an amazing simon. He says like this, quotes the Levush, Matzasi B'Shem Hagon Reb Isaac Dashen. The Levush brings down, it's really Eliyahu Rabbi brings down from Reb Isaac Dashen. K'shachol Rosh Chodesh Shvat B'yom Dalet. In a year when Rosh Chodesh Shvat falls on a Wednesday, like it did yesterday, then there's a Simon Vayigash. What does it mean, there's a Simon Vayigash? Vayigash, Vav Yud Gimel Shin, stands for Vav Yihyeh Gimel Shvat. When Gimel Shvat, the third of Shvat, falls on a Friday, like it will do tomorrow, then you read Vayigash backwards, Shin Gimel Yud Vav, Sheleg Godol Yihyeh V'Kar. It's going to be an extremely snowy and cold winter. Finishes off the probably in Eretz Yisrael. It's referring to. It's alright, bro. Finishes off the Eliyahu Rabba, who came Bodok u'Menusa. It's tried and tested. You go through history. Whenever Gimel Shabbat, whenever Rosh Chodesh Shabbat falls on a Wednesday, meaning that third Shabbat falls on a Friday, it's going to be an extremely snowy and cold winter. This wasn't originally going to be the topic. I thought I was speaking Tuesday, but when they told me I speak Thursday, so I thought if we're holding my Thursday Beis Shvat, we can speak about the Gimel Shvat. Tomorrow's Gimel Shvat.
Which country
now? I assume he doesn't say it, so I assume that's what it means.
Russia.
I'll call upon him. So I want to discuss a bit whether this year is going to be cold, or we'll have to wait and see. But what is the significance behind it? Again, obviously these are things which are Gavoya Mal Gavoya. Why is it Mumas Dafkin there? What's it got to do with Vayigash? If there is such a simon, why is it Mumas Dafkin the word Vayigash? But we want to talk about a little bit more basic. Even if we are not in Eretz Yisrael, we're Eretz Yisrael Diki Yidden, we all belong in Eretz Yisrael, that's where our home is. But upon him, here in Chutz La'aretz, even here, obviously this year, Toshin 9 has got something connected, a big connection to snow. This is supposed to be a snowy year. So I want to talk about a bit what snow is and perhaps what we can take out of it wherever we are. Snow, Lashon HaKodesh, is called Sheleg. It doesn't take a genius to work out that Sheleg, the Gematria of Sheleg, is 333. Again, is that a coincidence? Or does snow have something, some connection to the number 3? Perhaps to the number 333, 3 times 3. So I once saw an amazing idea. We all know that there's such a thing as Midas Hadin, when the Bnei Hashem is strict, and there's such a thing as Midas Harachamim. That can manifest itself in different ways. When it comes to snow is a very interesting area. On the one hand, when there's a heavy snowfall, life stops. The trains are cancelled, the flights are cancelled, your business meetings are cancelled, you can't get there, it's a real pain in the neck, and the worst is the kids are home from school. Hagel upon him, the life comes to a standstill, especially if we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, they've got absolutely no idea how to cope, and things just grind to a halt. On the other hand, which would seem to indicate that snow is a Midas Hadin, we've got all our plans, our Seder Hayoim worked out, and everything we're helpless, everything comes to a standstill. On the other hand, when it starts to warm up just a little bit and the snow starts to melt, automatically, snow doesn't disappear, it just changes into water, irrigates the fields, it's gishmei bracha, it helps the plantation grow, etc. Which is the biggest midas harachamim. We know whenever we ask in the Torah Kodesh, whenever we talk, nosati mita atzachem, the best bracha is rain. So snow on the one hand has a midas hadin, on the other hand with it, automatically, it has the midas harachamim with it. It has the strict judgment of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. On the other hand, it shows his mercy at the same time. The truth is, snow is white. Now, white itself is something which seems to have both characteristics. On the one hand, when we talk about, for example, on Yom Kippur, when they put the red string around the Sarah Mishtaleah, if Klal Yisrael got a slicha or mechila, they got forgiven, it changed white. White is a color which represents tahara, purity, midas harachamim. On the other hand, when a mitzayor goes to show his white spot to the kohen, one of the shades of white which the Mishnah talks about is azaka sheleg. If it's white like snow, then it's tome. So white itself seems to be something which could be midas harachamim and could be midas hadin. That's something which we're going through in these parshas. It's parshas of Golos. That the Rebbeinu Shalom comes to Moshe and he says, it's time to come out of Mitzrayim. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's very nice when we're in Eretz Yisrael, now we're in Golos. It's Midas Hadin, we're lost. Says the Rebbeinu Shalom, no. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rebbeinu Shalom, when I come to Klal Yisrael and I say to them, Ramuli Mashmoi, where is the Rebbeinu Shalom here in Golos? Moi Malem, what have I got to answer them? It's alright when there's a Beis HaMikdash around, it's alright when the Ovos are there. But here they're going to say, we're in Golos, we've been here 210 years. Moshamai, what am I going to tell him? So the Rebbeinu Shalom told him, no need to worry. Vayoyim elihim el Moshe, ehye ashe, ehye. Vayoyim el koysem alim nisod, ehye shlochani aleichem. The name which the Rebbeinu Shalom comes to us, appears to us in Golos, is this name of Ehye ashe, ehye. Which means, like the Rambam says, it's true you're in Golos, but I'm there with you. I'm there holding your hand. There's this combination of Midas Hadin, it's not a time of Rachamim. We're not there with the Beis HaMikdash, we're in Golos. But on the other hand, we should know we're not by ourselves. The Rebbeinu Shalom is there together with us. Ekia Asher Ekia. Again, it's not a coincidence that this triple vowel name of the Rebbeinu Shalom is Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. Ekia Asher Ekia. The Rosh HaTeva is Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. Aleph says the Arizal in a number of places. It's spelled Aleph, Lamed, Fei. It doesn't take a genius to work out. It's 111. When you have Ekia Asher Ekia, that is your three Alephs of 333. Meaning that 333 is a number which signifies that I can have Midas Hadin and I can have the Rachamim together. That's this name of Ekya Sheekya. When we want to show some sort of physical manifestation of this, some sort of something in the Bria, something in creation, which represents this Midah of the Rebbeinu Shleilom, not of Din, not of Rachamim, but rather a combination of two, perhaps the best example is snow, because like I've explained before, snow has these two characteristics to it. And that's perhaps why it's 333. More than that, what's it got to do with the number 3? Maral in various places says that 3 is the number which brings that you've got two people who are having a machloikas, and the third one comes to make shalom, brings them to the middle. Chein shnei kesuvim ha-machishim zeh zeh, you've got two kesukim which contradict each other. Avraham Avinu's Midas HaChesed. Yitzchak Avinu's Midas HaDin. Two opposites, Midas HaGvura. Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes, he's got a bit of Midas HaDin and a bit of Midas Rachmim, and he's the Tiferes, he's the middle way. He's the third of the others. The number three represents bringing together the two extremities. So we understand a bit why number three is the number which is a shiluv, a combination of Midas HaDin and Midas Rachmim. And not only that, it's not just the number three, but the number 333. Shavat, the word Shavat, no, it means shave, the stick. All of these parshas which we're talking about, Shmois, Va'eo, Boi, B'Shalach, one of the things which comes up again and again and again is the Shvat, the Shevet of Moshe Rabbeinu, which Aaron HaKohen used also. This stick which they had, on the one hand, brought havoc to the Mitzrayim and to the land Mitzrayim. It's Midas HaDin. On the other hand, the same Shevet brought the Geula to Klal Yisrael. And not only did it bring the Gula to Klal Yisrael, it's the same Shevet which, like the Medrash says in Bamidbar, the same Shevet which Melech HaMashiach will come, also holding this very same stick, and be Goyal Klal Yisrael redeem us once again. So the very same item, the very same utensil, this Shevet, can be at the same time in Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim. For the Mitzvim, it's Midas HaDin, it's bringing them the punishment they so deserve. And on the other hand, for us, it's Midas HaRachamim. So Shabbat is something which, again, represents a Shevet, these two things together. We're beginning to see and understand the connection between Shabbat and snow. Last week, when we perhaps introduced Chodesh Shabbat for this year, when Shabbos Mevorchin, Chodesh Shabbat, was Shabbos Chodesh Parshas Vo'eiro. Very first pasuk in Va'eiro, Va'yedaber Elokim el Moshe, Va'yom Elov Ani Hashem. Elokim and Hashem in the same pasuk. Elokim we all know is Midas HaDin. Hashem, Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei is Midas HaRachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, we're here in Golus. All we see is the Midas HaDin. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam says, on surface level you can only see the Midas HaDin. Just dig a bit deeper and you'll see, behind it, you'll see the Rachamim which is hiding there. Vayoyim Elokim el Moshe. The Ribbono Shel Olam, when he came the Midas HaDin, said to Moshe, Vayoyim Elov, you should know, Ani Hashem. I'm the very same Hashem, I'm the very same Midas HaRachamim. Sometimes you just have to dig a little bit deeper. The Gematria of Elokim is 86. The Gematria of Ani Hashem is 87. Just dig one little bit deeper behind the Midas HaDin, and you'll see all the Rachamim hiding behind it. And we're not holding yet by Rosh Chodesh Adar, but if we would be, perhaps we talk about why sometimes you have to dig even deeper, like in the time of Haman HaRasha, where there's Gezer, Lahashmin, Lahari, Lahabed, and even if you dug, you couldn't see deep. You couldn't see the Midas HaRachamim. There you have to dig really deep. You have to read the Megillah, which is Gematria 88. Not our topic. But Al-Kabani, behind every Elokim, behind every Elokim, behind every 86 is Ani Hashem 87. Every din has Rachamim behind it. When Rosh Chodesh Shvat falls on a Wednesday, like it does this year, if you look through the calendar, you'll see that the sad days of the calendar, be it the Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, the Tisha B'Av, the Tzayim Gedalia, the Tzayim is the fast days which are Zeich L'Churban, are all going to fall on Shabbos. Tzayim Gedalia, we've already passed, it fell on Shabbos. Asar B'Tavis is the one fast which cannot fall on Shabbos. Ta'anis Esther has got nothing to do with the Churban, Ta'anis Esther is not a sad fast. But when it comes to Shiva Asa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, they're also going to be on Shabbos. So three of the four Ta'anisim, the only three which can fall on Shabbos, which are Zeich L'Churban, all fall on Shabbos. Rebbe in Megillah, Daf Hei Amud Beis, it says that Rebbe wanted to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av. He wanted to cancel Tisha B'Av. It says, well, that's not quite accurate. Lo Yikachoy HaMaisa. It doesn't mean he wanted to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av. That year was a Tisha B'Av Shechol B'Shabbos. And Rebbe held, if Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbos, we're going to cancel Tisha B'Av altogether. Says the Gemara, V'loi hoidu loi chachomim, chachomim don't agree to him. We don't say hoil v'nidcha nidcha, we still keep Tisha B'Av, we just push it off onto the Sunday, which is obviously how we paskin. However, even the way we paskin like the chachomim, that we still fast on Sunday, it is nevertheless not as severe as it is when it falls on Shabbos. Ask any rabbi when it comes to shyness, or as a pregnant woman, or about someone who's making a bris, there are certain leniencies, kulas, when Tisha B'Av is a nidcha, it's pushed off from a Shabbos to a Sunday, rather than if it fell on a weekday. So, such a year when Rosh Chodesh Shavat falls on a Wednesday, meaning that third Shavat, like it will be tomorrow, is going to fall on a Friday, we have the Midas Hadin, the Zeichu L'Churban, the whole year. Every few months through the year, the Shivas of the time was the Tisha B'Av, the same Gedal, which reminds us of the Churban. But at the very same time, we realize it's all nidche, it's all pushed off, it's not as severe as we think. Perhaps behind the din, there is a Midas Harachamim. Perhaps the best example we can take from recent memory, Tavshin Nun Aleph, 1991, which was also such a year, Rosh Chodesh Shabbat fell on a Wednesday, and today, Thursday, Beis Shabbat, 24 years ago, was the day the Gulf War started. Thursday, Beis Shabbat. And it was tonight, the night of Rav Yehia Gimel Shabbat, of Thursday night, in the middle of the night, where the first scud rained down on Eretz Yisrael, and they got out the they got out from their warm beds and they ran into the Shele Godli Yevakai, into the cold sealed rooms. But in this very Midas Hadin, which we all saw, we all remember the tremendous Nisim, the tremendous Rachman which we saw. Sometimes you don't need to dig so deep, sometimes it's apparent. And even recently when we see there's so many tzaras in Klal Yisrael, it doesn't take, just have to be blind to see, to ignore and not to see the Nisim that come with it. Of course there's a Midas Hadin, of course we're in Golas, but we've got to remember Ekya Asher Ekya, the Aleph Aleph Aleph, the 111, which manifests itself in snow, the 333, and that's a chizik for us all. There's another aspect about snow that perhaps we can learn from. The Gemara says in Psochim, Tafnun Gimel Amud Beis, Ma'aro Hanani Mishol Ve'Azariah. How did Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah know they should jump into the fire, give up their life for Kiddushim Shemaim? Says the Gemara, not so kal v'chayim v'atzman, they made the kal v'chayim. Umat Sephardim, if already the frogs, who were not mitzvah on Kiddushim Shemaim, they were not mitzvah to jump into the fires, and nevertheless they did. So we who are mitzvah, most certainly on Kiddush Hashem, on Mesiris Nefesh, most certainly we should jump into the fire. The Gemara is a pelev after, the Gemara doesn't make any sense. The Shagis Ayah. What do you mean? Umat Sfaradim, if already the frogs who are not commanded in Kiddushim Shemaim, they are not commanded to jump into the fires. Nevertheless, they did. It's a first apostle in last week's parsha. The apostle says, "V'shar tayot Sfaradim." The river should swarm frogs. V'olu and they should come up. Where should they go? Ubo b'veisecha in your houses, v'chadam mishkavecha your bedrooms, v'al mitasecha on your beds. In your houses, and in your ovens. This is Mefurish Apostle. They have to go into the ovens. What were Hananim? They forgot the Apostle in Pashas Vo'era. Matzvadim, if already the Tzvadim, who didn't have to go into the fires, nevertheless, of course they had to go into the fires. That's what the Ben Shem wanted. Shagas Ayah asked this Kasha. The Vilna Gaon was a boy of 7 years old, and Vilna Gaon said, I got a Teretz. Each Tzvadeah can only go one place. Each Tzvadeah. Generally, there was a command for the Tzfardim, all the frogs, to go to all these places. But each Tzfardeah could choose where he's going to go. So each Tzfardeah, each frog has a choice. Where should I jump? Should I jump under the duvet or should I jump in the fire? What would be the natural reaction of the person? You know what? Someone has to jump in the fire. Vakasha, go ahead. I'll jump on the bed. I'll jump into the table. Why does it have to be me that jumps in the fire? However, they went ahead and they jumped in the fire. No Tzfardeah said, why should I do it? Why should it be me? They went ahead and they jumped in the fire. So Hanani, Mishael v'Azariah, each individual frog was not mitzvah to jump in the fire. Each individual frog could have jumped somewhere else. Nevertheless, no one shifted the responsibility onto someone else. None of the frogs said, I'm not going to do it, you do it. There were those who willingly jumped into the fire. If so, we who are mitzvah, each one of us to jump into the fire, most certainly we should do that. Shabbosiah heard this terrace from the Vilna Gaon, he picked him up and kissed him on his forehead. Same thing we find in this week's parsha. We know that Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvah, says the Gemara in Sotah Yud Gimel. When Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, all Klal Yisrael were busy taking the gold and the silver from the Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu went, and he was looking for the bones, the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Because Yosef HaTzadik had made them make a shvur that they would take his coffin out of Mitzrayim. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's sole responsibility. Anyone could have done it. But everyone says, why me? There's other things. There's another mitzvah to do, to collect the gold and silver. Perhaps a more attractive mitzvah to do, rather than looking, searching for some graveyard, some coffin. But, and it wasn't easy. Moshe Rabbeinu, like Moses, was running around for 3 days, running around the whole Mitzrayim, trying to find it. He couldn't find it, until Sarah Pasosha told him the secret. It's lying at the bottom of the river. But upon him, it wasn't easy. It was much easier to go and collect, much more attractive to go and collect the gold and silver. It says the Gemara, Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu is not one who pushes it onto someone else and says, why should I do it? I'll do the easier mitzvah, why should I do it? That's a teva which people have. You know, if you tell your child, Reuven, please clear up the toys, perhaps he'll clear up the toys. If you've got four or five children at home, and you say, I'd like please one of you to clean up the toys, it's guaranteed nothing will happen. You didn't tell me, you said one of us, so why me? Someone else will do it. The teva of people, and only of children, adults also, shift the responsibility onto others. You find by tzaddikim, as nishlas, they always take the responsibility on themselves, but again, not our topic for now. 333 is, we mentioned before, snow. First glance, it seems that it's a collection of individuals who are all identical. I've got a three and another three and another three. They're all identical and they come together. However, just thinking about it a minute, obviously you see it's not like that. The first three is a 300, the second three is a 30, and the third three is only three units. So it might at first glance look like everyone is the same, but when you think about it a bit more, everyone is individual, everyone is separate. Sometimes, the Rebbeinu Shem sends on an individual a tsar, Rahman Islam, a nisayim. And the automatic reaction is, why me? Why did the Rebbeinu Shem pick on me? The very same why me which we say when something has to be done, and we, why should I do it? I'll shift on someone else. We also say, when Rahman Islam is a tsar, why me? If it's a tsar on Klal Yisrael, that's one thing. But if it's an individual tsar, why me? Funny, when the Rebbeinu Shem sends us bracha and hatzlacha, and then we don't ask why me. When there's a tsar, then suddenly we wake up and say, why me? We're all the same. So it could have just equally have been on him, as on my friend, as on myself. But the truth is, it's not like that. When it snows, they say they've scientifically researched, and no two snowflakes are identical. There will be billions of snowflakes which have fallen and will fall from the beginning of the time of creation till today and further, and no two snowflakes are the same. As the Gemara says in Baba Basra, the Benjamin says to Eiv, when Eiv is complaining and wants to understand the Anogas Habaye, and he says, do you understand what's going on? How about tipping Barasi Vainam? There's so many raindrops. And you think they're all identical. You think they all come from the same place in Shemayim. So the Rebbeinu Shem made each one its individual form. Each one has its individual force. No two are identical. The same with snowflakes. No two people are identical. The limit which we can take from snow is that in the same way that at first glance all the snowflakes are the same and the 333s are the same, just research it, but you'll see the 3 3s are different, the snowflakes are different, and we as individual people are different. When the Rebbeinu Shem sends a tzar to one individual person, he can't say, why me, it should have been on Yenem. No, you're not the same as him, you're different, and you're the one who needed that test, you're the one who needed that nisayim, you're the one who needed that tzar, not so-and-so, not your friend. It's pointless, therefore, to look over your shoulder and say, he's got better nachas, his panosa is easier, he's got more success than I have. Each person is individual. We're not supposed to be the same. All the threes are not identical. Each three is individual. The Rebbeinu Shem sends us our package, which is necessary for us in our Avodas Hashem. Gevaldige Wort, which we said this morning, we'll say every morning. Perhaps it's something to think about. Hanoisein Sheleg Katzem, we said this morning in the Halalukos. The Rebbeinu Shem sends Sheleg, sends snow Katzem, like wool. What's David HaMelech telling us? He's telling us the color, you should know the color of snow is the color of wool. And if he wouldn't have told us that it's the color of wool, I wouldn't have worked, white like wool, I wouldn't have worked out that snow is white. Why does David HaMelech need to say, Noisen Shelek, he gives us Shelek Katzeme, like wool. So I once saw brought down from Moshe Anstern Zechon in Avocha, a beautiful pshat. He says, when the Rebbeinu Shem sends an Isayan, he'll only send it to you with as much as you can bear, as much as you can cope with. You know how much Shelek, how much snow, how many cold things, how many cold matzavim situations he'll send you, katzeme, it depends how much wool he's given you to protect yourself. The Rebbeinu Shem sends each and every individual person sheleg, kafi, according to the amount of tzeme that he has. He will never give you a test that you cannot be omen, that you cannot succeed, you cannot stand in the nisayin. Hanoisen sheleg katzeme, the Rebbeinu Shem could have done more, like we say in the psukim after that. Lifnei ka'osai miyamid, in front of the cold, the cold of the Rebbeinu Shem miyamid, we can't stand, it's impossible. The Rebbeinu Shem, if he wanted, could bring out the snow in its element, and no one would be able to survive. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't do that. He only gives hanoisen sheleg katzeme, only how much a person can bear with. Is Mamela, just to do a quick chazar on what we've said, We wanted to know, Vayigash, why is it that Vav Yiyah Gimel Shvat, when Gimel Shvat falls on a Friday, is the Rosh Hashanah Shelei Godin Yiyah Bekai, it's a very snowy and cold winter. And like I mentioned before, the year of the Gal 4 was Taka Yiyah, which didn't seem so cold, even though it was Vav Yiyah Gimel Shvat, 91. However, till Pashas Boi Klal Yisrael was fine. Eretz Yisrael was fine. There was no cold, no snow. Suddenly, when the Gulf Wars broke out on that Thursday, the very next week, suddenly the Gishmei Bracha came. Suddenly it became freezing cold and started pouring and threw the Iraqis off course, something they weren't expecting, and it affected the direction of the missiles. But the opponents, we saw, like the Ali Rabba says, it was Bodukum Nusa. In such a year, when it's Vav Yiyah Gimel Shvat, it is Shelig Godel Yiyah Bekai in Eretz Yisrael. We explained why Shelig is 333. It's the three times the 111 of Eke Asher Eke. Aleph is 111, and the three Alephs of Eke Asher Eke are 333 to represent that snow is the Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim together. At first glance, you just see the snow and everything comes to a standstill, but afterwards it melts and it becomes water and it irrigates the fields. We understand why Dafka the number 3. The 3 is what brings the two extremities together. The Shleik Siva Hamachishim Zezen, the Shlishi comes in the middle. The Yaakov Avinu who brings the Avam and the Yitzhak together. Shevat itself, we explain, is Shevet, a stick, which can be Midas Harachim and Midas Hadin at the same time, depends to who. Melech HaMashiach will come the Shevat, with the very same stick, with the very same Shevet of Moshe and Aaron. We understood why Dafka 3, why Dafka the third Shevat, because when the third Shevat falls on Friday, it means that Tzayim Gedalia and Tisha B'Av and Yozayim Netamos, all the Tzaymas which are connected to the Churban Beis HaMikdash have fallen and will fall on the Shabbos, and therefore they are nidche, they are pushed off till Sunday, and they don't have the same severity. And the second aspect we could perhaps learn from snow is that even though at first glance the 333 seem to be the same, and every community seems to be made up of many individuals who all are the same, it's not like that. Each 3 is individual, there's a 300, there's a 13, there's a 3. All the snowflakes are different, and it's something we have to appreciate. We're all different, and what the Rosh Hashanah, when he gives us nisayon, it's different. We can't say, why me? The Tzfadim didn't say, why me? So why should we say, why me? Rather, we should appreciate that the Rosh Hashanah has given us a nisayon, each and every one of us, what's fitting for us and what we need. It's pointless to look over our shoulder. And at the same time, when the Rosh Hashanah gives us a nisayon, he gives hanois and shelek katsemer, only as much as we can take. Perhaps, just to finish off with one more remez from Vayigash, in such a year when Gimel Shabbat falls on a Friday like it does tomorrow, says the Kedushas Levi, Soiva Godel Vizoyin Yiyah, it's going to be a year full of abundance and everything will be cheap, not just the petrol, everything will fall in price, there'll be an abundance of everything, and perhaps this one is not only going to be an exile, perhaps it will be in Chutzlah, it's also, it will be a year of Shefa Bocha Atzlof of Ordin, and a year where we'll see, we won't have to dig deep behind the Elikim, behind the 86 to see the Ani Hashem, the 87, rather we'll see the Nisim Geloyim, we'll see the Shem Hashem, B'Miloi, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, we'll see the Midas Harachmim, and Klal Yisrael will be Zerecha to Golo Vishu.
Yeah.